B105.
G'day, everybody. Welcome to today's podcast.
Do you know, I'm obsessed with Deborah Lee Finesse's voice.
Oh, yeah?
I want her to do, and I don't mean this is a rude thing, but I would like her to do like a soothing meditation to put me to sleep.
Well, a lot of celebrities and, do that, like audiobooks to help you go to sleep. Matthew McConaughey does one.
No, that wouldn't do it for me.
No, okay, no.
No, no, no.
Maybe
but
after
her
that.
Voice.
Keep her awake.
Her voice is one that you can just go, like, we've got this, Abby. And you go, yeah, Deb, we do have it.
Nick Offerman, you remember we talked to him, the guy from Parks and Recreation? He's a big one on it.
Really? Yeah. Who would you want?
The soothing tones of Morgan Freeman.
No.
Fran Drescher.
Brand Russia.
Soothing for you. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know why this has stuck with me, but there was, when I was a kid, one of my mate's mums used to come in for reading.
Yes.
In like grade 3 or 4.
Mm-hmm.
And she had one of those voices.
Oh, yeah.
It was like, like this.
And do you reckon she ever raised it? Says,
I don't know.
She did. You really listened.
Michael Arche's mum. And she was a lovely woman, but she was very softly spoken. And I remember as a kid, she was I was on my day, you know, where the parents come in and you read. And I just remember getting that tingly ASMR feeling from her
like
voice.
Like a bit of a crush?
No, it wasn't like that. It was like, it was, you know how those people have, some people have those voices that make your skin tingle and you're like, oh, I could fall asleep right now.
100%.
What about your friend Emma?
My friend Emma?
Your friend Emma.
Dang, you can't. Like, she's such a wealth of knowledge. She's the one that does infectious diseases and would love to be able to chat to her about stuff, but when she talks, she just can't.
She's
like, Emma, use your big girl voice.
So can you imagine you go into her waiting room? She's not that kind of doctor, but you go, I'm so sorry to tell you, but you have kids.
Well, that's...
What?
You guys got along well, though.
Yeah.
That's because Stav...
I just agree with her
the whole time. Do you know how we did? She came into the Brisbane airport. Mm. We were catching a flight. And she lived here at the time. She's like, oh no, she'd been back here. She lived in Melbourne. And she was like, I went, what the hell? You didn't tell me you were back in Brisbane because we were flying off. I was like, why wouldn't you tell me? She's like, I'm so sorry. I'm so, like, I should have told you. I was like, yeah, you should have. We should have caught up. She's like, where are you flying to? I said, Melbourne. She goes, oh, so you haven't told me. I went,
nah.
Good point. Let's go for a drink. So when we landed, we all went out for a drink.
Yeah, we had a martini in the
we did.
Cloud bar.
Yes.
Oh, so you know what it's like, though, when you come to town? You don't want to tell
Oh, that was
everyone.
A big night. It was a Tuesday, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
What did you do? Get on the pierce?
No, we didn't. Told me I was corny. But he did have a couple of martinis. He's like, no, I mean it as a compliment. And then we lost Labby because he went out. And then came back, and it was a Tuesday night.
That doesn't explain much. I feel like there's an important slab of information which is not being shared.
You had to be there.
So you guys had a fight?
No.
You called her corny and she didn't like it?
Did we have a fight?
Yeah, you were angry. And
we had a rescue and I got upset about it. He's like, why would you get upset about it? Because I was like, I really do. And he goes, oh, you're just corny. Like, you buy into that stuff. And I was like, what do you mean? He goes, well, but we need someone who's corny on the show.
I said, Labby's like the guy. I'm the funny guy, and you're the corny. But I meant like, you know, the human one, the humanitarian one, the corny one. And it was a good solid 8 years ago. And you know, we've moved past it. So that bar was lovely, though. Do you remember the bar, the big sky bar? It was up a big.
We were a bit tipsy when we got.
She took us to it.
We had the plane.
Yep.
We used to have plane fun.
Yeah, we did.
Yes. And we got on the plane and then we can't remember. But it was like one of those in Melbourne, you know, it overlooked the whole city.
It was a sky bar. At the very top of
like an observation deck.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
The Eureka Tower.
Yeah,
is that
probably.
It?
Yeah, that rings a bell.
Is it you can stand on the floor and look down?
Yes,
yeah,
that's
Eureka
the
Tower.
One. Yeah. I think it was even called the sky bar.
If that's how you used to break down the show, how do you break it down today?
Exactly the same way.
He's not the funny one. He's the corny one.
We're the three best friends.
All righty, guys, here we go. Let's get into the podcast.
Stav, Abby and Matt for breakfast. B105.
Testing. 1, 2, 3.
Testing. 1, 2, 3.
A lot of people are saying the Australian anthem needs to be changed because it says we're young and free, and rightly so. This week is for to support, celebrate First Nation,
mm-hmm.
and they're saying, look, it doesn't. It's not. We're not young.
Yeah.
We're one of the oldest nations, so it should be changed. And the Premier came out and supported it as well.
Gladys Berejiklian.
New South Wales Premier Gladys Berejiklian is calling for the lyrics of the national anthem to change to better acknowledge Australia's Indigenous history. We are young and free would be changed to we are one and free.
We've had a tough year. Why, if anyone feels offended,
yeah.
let's change it. Yeah. You know, let's change it. But people are saying don't go just changing the one lyric. Why don't we actually change the song? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of songs that we support. So these were the list of songs that people nominated and voted for.
Yeah, we'll play you a bit and you've got to finish it off. And the first cab off the rank is Chloe in Redland Bay. Morning, Chloe.
Good morning. How are you?
We are good. All right, here's your song.
You've got to sing it, by the way. And yeah, you've got to sing it with passion, Chloe.
Okay.
All right, don't let us down. There's a Bundy Bundle pack on the line here.
I actually don't know.
Oh, wow.
You don't know the next line?
Never
I still
Qantas.
Call Australia.
Huh.
Home?
Sing it with passion.
Home.
That's Peter Allen's, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. I know Qantas.
Boy from Oz. Shana in Brendale. All right, we've got another classic Aussie song that people would like to see as the new national anthem coming your way. You just got to sing the rest when it stops.
Okay.
I am, you are, we are Australian.
Woo!
Qantas used that for an ad too, didn't they?
Yeah, I think they did.
With all the kids singing.
Yeah.
They're really trying to push this Australia thing, aren't they?
Well done. That's the one that's leading the poll at the moment for the replacement too.
Yes, 54% of people saying that is. The Seekers?
Yeah, but we have to wait till all the votes are counted and then we'll win the protest.
Hey, we got Jacinta on. Hi.
Hello.
All right, here we go. Here is your song. You just smiled and gave me a Vegemite
sandwich. And he said, I come from the land down under.
We need some more.
Thunder.
Hey! Everyone always stops there.
What the pause did really for you. Men at Work, that's 7% of people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thunder! Cover! Jay, hello.
How you going?
You generally munted when you're singing that song, though, you know, that comes out in karaoke.
That is true. Let's see what song you've got. And remember, you've got to finish it off with passion.
That's the way it's going to be, little darling. We'll go riding on the horses. Yeah, yeah.
Brilliant. Oh, you want more?
I've just seen what he would do.
Wow.
I could
keep
going all day.
You're like Daryl Braithwaite, Jay. Wow.
I like that one as the anthem because people will be like, why is this their anthem?
Do they like horses? Yeah. Is that the national animal?
Change all the coins. Yeah. Whack a horse on it. All right, Celeste, bring us home. Here we go. I'm asking you.
Oh, no clue.
That one's hard.
Yeah, I don't think I would know how to finish that.
No.
Yeah, only 2% of people went for the William.
Is it me or you? Oh, that's where it goes to. Right.
Mm-hmm. Is it Mom and Dad?
Yeah. Is it a cockatoo?
So that's
is it John
part.
Williamson?
Yeah.
No, yeah.
Great song. Well, there we go. Let's see. Will one of those be our next national anthem? We'll have to wait and find out.
Stav, Abby and Matt for breakfast. B105.
Dear Abby.
Sometimes in life, gets real. And that's when you need Abby to help.
I'm trying to help you.
I'm going
to
give my honest perspective on this email, even if it might hurt.
Okay.
Because I've had friends in this situation.
Oh, no. That sounds like we need to talk. sort of, you know, when
honestly,
someone sits down?
That's 100% this. This is we need to have an honest conversation.
Okay.
And 131060, if you've got any advice or if you want to be honest with him as well. He's written, Dear Abby, I don't know where to start, but he will. My wife and I have been married for 6 years and our intimacy has dropped off the face of the planet. Mm. I try to initiate things in the bedroom but constantly get pushed away. My wife could go days or even months without wanting to have it. What should I do?
Okay.
Anonymous. And I would say that it's a real complex one and it's such a, he's written it in such a simple way and there is more going on. Mm. I think when kids come along, it's hard. It's even just hard to find time. Mm-hmm. It's hard with women not feeling comfortable in their bodies as well. Mm-hmm. And I would say that's more complex. You kind of have to feel happy in yourself to want it as well and feel connected. Mm-hmm. So there's all that going on, which I think is hard and should be addressed.
And do we know if they have kids though?
No, I don't
know
anything.
That's all he said.
Yeah. And then I would say that there's been so many of my friends who the first thing to go in their relationship is that when they're not feeling in love.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the beginning of the end. When they're not feeling like that person is attractive to them and they're just not feeling like they want to and they'll say, oh, no, I'm not in the mood.
Mm.
But I've learnt that they're not in the mood for them, which is really harsh to say. So there's so much going on. And I would say you have to be able to talk to them and say, what is it, rather than just trying to initiate things and getting pushed away.
Because
that's so hurtful and this is going to get to the point where he's not even going to try anymore. And that's going to put a wedge in the relationship. So you have to open up the conversation and say, what is it?
Guys do not handle rejection. It's the one thing, like guys with all their bravado and all that sort of stuff, if we get rejected, it just turns us to, we just crumble, you know? And that's, I think, he's got to remember not to be like, oh, well, it's her problem. He's got to think, okay, I'm hurt, but I need to investigate this.
Why do guys not talk about it?
Because we're scared of the truth.
But you're already getting pushed away now. You know, like it feels like there's such a physical thing of like, I'm going to reach out, but I'm keep getting rejected. But you never actually sit down and say, what is it that your desire's gone?
I think hearing you say that it's the beginning of the end, in our minds we're like...
So you're not...
I don't know about you, but in all of my friends' relationships, when the guy's gone in to be like, what is the problem? She broke up with him in her mind 6 months ago.
Okay.
And so,
it's a fear?
You're fearful of she's going to go, I'm actually want to get out of this.
Yeah.
So, what you think you're doing is buying yourself time to fix it.
But you're already getting rejected. And what about if the answer, because like I said, there are so many different possible causes. What about if the answer is, I am stressed and I'm really struggling with blah, blah, blah. I've closed down. And he could go, okay, wow. All right. Well, maybe I could take that away from you so that we've got more time.
Mm.
But you think that he's automatically presumed that it's something about him, so he doesn't want to ask.
Yeah. I think it's more he thinks that there is a possibility here. If he does ask that question, the relationship is over.
It already,
because of what Maddie says.
But then I would look at that and say, if this keeps going, yes, it is over. Either way, there's something going on with her that she needs to get help with or address.
Mm.
So at this stage, without even asking, it's going to lead that way. Because there's some people that go, oh, and I've had friends of mine before go, you know what, we haven't had it for 5 years, but we're happy, we're friends. And I go, okay. And they're the people that have just, I guess, don't want anymore. Mm. They've been happy with it being a thing, but it doesn't last for very long after that.
Mm. I think his biggest fear is the truth. You know, once the truth comes out, he's trying to buy time to think, oh, you know, how can I work this out?
Because there's so much more in play that you want to know what else is going on. But that's him straight to the point. Anonymous.
I'm Toey. What do I do?
What do you think about this? Can you relate?
So I am one of the women that I do push away my husband. It's definitely something that needs to be spoken about in a relationship, though, because I don't think, like, maybe sometimes the women don't understand how big of an issue it is either.
True.
Like when my husband and I first started dating, we were all about doing that.
Yeah.
And I think even just before we actually got married, it dropped off. And not because we don't love each other. I absolutely adore my husband. I wouldn't be without him. And it's not like we don't have kids. We don't have all these added extra stresses. It's just something that just doesn't happen a lot on my half. Mm-hmm. But it's something like I've like we've tried different therapies and we've been to doctors and stuff. It's just, it's apparently can be normal.
Yeah. I think it's hard when that, when your relationship starts out like that, and you know, it always peters off a bit in a relationship, but if that's something
that started there rather than just not both having a high one. Yeah.
Yeah. And then it disappears. You kind of think like, oh, something's changed because all of a sudden they've just, yeah.
Lauren in Park Ridge, what do you think this guy should do?
Well, for me and my partner, we actually had our daughter last year, so obviously it depends on their circumstances, but I started getting a lot of postnatal, not depression, but a lot of emotions and stuff. I returned to work this year, and just the workload and home load was just ridiculous. And we actually came to an agreement. I was resenting him, and we came to an agreement that he would do one chore unasked a day, that he would just pick whatever and just do it unasked. And then throughout the week, he'd show me one act of, like, love. And it's actually really increased our sex life.
Okay.
That's good. It's good that you addressed it, Lauren. I think that's what a lot of people are saying that they miss. So if he does that, then you've got more time to do that.
Yeah, that kind of. And just the fact, like, it's less stress for me. I like to have the house organized, things in place, and just, you know, life ready to go sort of thing. And not having to do all that means I'm less tired, which means we get more time together.
Yeah. So see, I always say the biggest turn on is, my husband cleaning the house.
Yeah, it definitely is.
I'm like, I don't know how sad that got, but that's my thing.
Yeah, I don't know how we got here, but we did.
Yeah. Well, good on you, Lauren. If a reward chart works for kids, it will work for men as well. What was that? It does work?
Yeah, it definitely does.
Yeah, we don't mind how we get it. We just want to make you happy to get our reward.
Colm and Beachmere, what do you think?
Well, in my opinion, is if the guy's setting up for basing his relationship on physical, it won't work. We've gone for 10 months when my wife had severe postnatal depression. And then when she had going through menopause, it was just over 12 months because of the severe bleeding. But you just work through it. If you want to base it on physical appearance and physical actions, it's just doomed.
So you're saying they need to address it, and he needs to realise that it's not going to be the same every time.
Exactly.
With whatever you're going through,
You got to look at the total relationship, and also you married them for love, and you don't marry them for their physical appearance and everything else.
But, Colm, you seem like you were able to realise that it's not a rejection of you, it's what's happening at that time.
Exactly. We'll still get it over 30 years, so.
Oh, you've been married for 30 years. Well done.
Yeah.
Well, you got to listen to Colm then, doing something right.
So what would you say he does? He has to ask more questions?
To find out?
Yeah, you sound like you had, rather than just, she doesn't want me, you investigated more what the problem was.
Communication, you just got to talk to each other.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing.
At the end of the day. Yeah, and at the end of the day, it's the best one to say is yes to you, and you always get it right.
Yeah, all right, there you go. Well, hopefully.
You have to ask.
He asked some questions, and that'll help out.
Stav, Abby and Matt for breakfast. B105.
It's a rivalry 40 years in the making.
This is the moment they've been waiting for here at Lang Park. Arthur Beetson to wear a maroon jersey.
And this year, it almost didn't happen.
Well, we always have a state of origin, but how can you have it? Maybe in December. Let's keep our fingers crossed.
But we did cross those fingers.
Start of a series we saw might never happen is underway in Adelaide.
The youngest team we've fielded in years. Absolute underdogs.
Here's the try coming for Coates. Yes! The youngest on ground. Team Munster, yes!
1-0 down. We had the chance to take the series in Sydney. But last night... Well, let's not talk about last night.
It's time to get ready for Brisbane. It's time for the real decider.
It all comes down to a decider. Next Wednesday, Suncorp Stadium. And we have tickets. Yeah, we do.
Oh, the goosebumps. Alrighty, here we go. We've got a double pass right now to be there. We're going to do our own decider on the air here at B105.
And playing today, we got Gareth from Birkdale. Now, Gareth, you are a New South Wales fan?
I am, yes. Yep.
Okay. We'll let that go for the moment. And Diane from Crestmead.
Yes.
You are a Queensland supporter?
Born and bred.
Born and bred.
That's the way.
All right, guys, here's how it's going to work. There's 60 seconds on the clock, all right? The decider is the most intense thing you go through in State of Origin, so we're making it as intense as possible here. You'll have 60 seconds between the two of you to convince the other to give you the tickets. Now, if someone isn't willing to surrender the tickets to the other person, they go up in flames.
Oh.
So it's going to be a real test here because everyone would love the tickets, of course. So you guys can tell whatever story you want. If you don't sort it out between you in 60 seconds, they're here. The light is here. I'm not sure what smoker in the, the team we got it from. Oh, Nat, it is. All right. Here we go. Are you guys ready?
Yep.
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 All right. Here we go. Diane sounds sweet. Gareth sounds scared. Here we go. Your 60 seconds for the decider starts now. Go, guys.
Okay, well, Diane, I have to say.
My husband, he is also a Queensland supporter, and last year he went through chemo and cancer, and this game would be everything if he got to go, and it would help put
rest. So we're going for the sympathy card. We're going for the sympathy card as a Queenslander. If you were a real Queenslander, you'd want a Blues guy to go there so that he cops as much slack as he can when you guys win. If you were a true Queenslander, you would want me to be so embarrassed at the game.
And it would be awesome for him to be in there and watch his favourite team come through and disappear back into his life.
His favourite team stopped playing 4 years ago. This is some other rubbish team that's playing.
This is an awesome team. It's young. It's fresh. It's going to knock the crap out of New South Wales, and he needs to be
Well, if they're going to knock the crap out of this, why don't you let me go so that you can be have me nice and embarrassed at the game?
We're going to be there to witness it. We're going to be there and witness it.
I'm
going to smash the crap out of all you Blues.
Guys, guys.
Okay, all right, all right. So I think they've come to a conclusion. Are either of you willing?
Time's up.
Oh, you can't.
Only have 60 seconds.
Oh. No, I said have the tickets.
Oh, you said
Gareth.
Yeah, I'm a nice guy.
Beautiful guy.
Oh, that is awesome. Oh, my God, you're so wonderful.
Oh, Gareth, you did well. You didn't sound like it at the start.
Do you know what I like? My favourite line, Gareth?
Yeah.
Your favourite team stopped playing 4 years
that
ago.
Good.
That was pretty good,
that
man.
That was epic. That was good.
Oh, I had the... Oh, you're, mate, lucky you said that because I didn't hear it and I had the lighter ready to roll. Congratulations, Diane. You've got yourself those tickets.
Oh, my God, that's so awesome.
You don't want to say thank you to Gareth?
I said thank you. He's awesome. Yeah, he's wonderful too.
No worries.
Stav, Abby and Matt for breakfast. B105.
Virgin Galactic.
Spaceship Unity, welcome to space.
Chaffee base, $1 billion view.
The first spaceship built the regular passenger service to put humans into space.
The view is incredible.
Yeah, this is exciting. And I can't believe we're going to speak to someone who's going.
I knew you guys would be into it. Kathy Reid, she is a Brisbane woman who has got a ticket on the Virgin Galactic flight.
Going on the Galactic flight.
So these went on sale quite a while ago, and I remember it being announced, and they're $250,000. This is amazing. You're going to be one of the first, civilians to go to outer space.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty mind-blowing, isn't it? I'm so excited.
Have you always been interested in outer space? Because you put up a video, which I was showing the boys, of you getting a virtual reality tour of it. And in the background, I saw that there is an astronaut on your wall, like a painting. So you've obviously been obsessed with outer space.
My mum actually takes it back to the fact that she was pregnant with me when man landed on the moon. And she spent a lot of time on the couch waiting for me to be born, watching all of those early space things. But I think it's just that fascination with, I guess, breaking new ground, doing things that haven't been done before, and the opportunity. I've always been really big at making sure that you step out of your comfort zone and look at things through a different perspective rather than the one that you see there every day, and kind of going to space and looking back at Earth, I guess, is the ultimate manifestation of looking at things from a different perspective.
Well, every single astronaut that has done that says it changes your complete view of the world and humanity, and everything really changes. Do you have any time in weightlessness?
So when you're up there, you do the whole, there is a period where you're in zero gravity, which I'm so looking forward to.
Yeah.
I've done the zero gravity training and it's so much fun. Being completely weightless and just zooming around in zero gravity is the most awesome thing.
Is that when they fly the plane up real high and drop it real quick?
Yeah.
The flight itself, so a ticket's $250,000. What is in that package? Like, are you up and you're only there for 5 minutes, or is it how long does a flight go for? Is food included? What's the what do you get for that money?
Yeah, I don't believe there's any food. Look, the flight is essentially a single day experience. You go the carrier craft takes you up into space, carries the spaceship up to altitude. Then they release it, ignite the rocket motor, and you zoom up, basically break out through altitude into space, do a parabolic flight curve, and then back down to re-entry.
Well, Richard Branson initially wanted the maiden flight to happen in 2009, so they're still going ahead with it. And have you met Richard Branson? How often do they give you updates?
You do get a lot of updates from the team. We've been fortunate enough. We've met Richard numerous times, and it's a fun thing to be part of.
Are you scared?
Yeah,
because I was looking at the, what do you call it, the spaceship aircraft? I don't know what they're, but I was looking at it and I actually get scared because it's the unknown, and I guess they're still testing it. Is there any fear for you?
Well, by the time I go, the testing obviously will be all complete. And I think the reality is as well, you know, I look at it from the view, you've got the best people in the world working on this. Mm. It's so highly regulated. It's so highly tested. To me, there's actually a bigger risk in actually getting on a ride that's put together by someone with virtually no training. The maintenance, I'm always a little uncertain around the maintenance on some of those rides. I mean, you know, we all do multiple times every day the thing that is statistically most likely to kill us without giving it a second thought. It's walk out the front door and get in your car.
Yeah, true. Interesting.
There was talk of a one-way trip to Mars. You know, like years ago, they're like, if we could get people to go. My father-in-law actually said that
he applied for it.
Well, he said I think he said he'd be too old or whatever. But he said I would do that. And everyone was like, yeah, but we'd never see you again. But he'd be like, yeah, but my life once in a lifetime.
Yeah.
We were kind of like, fair enough. Is that something you would do? Getting on a flight?
No.
Yeah. Okay.
No. She's not that crazy.
Stuart has always specified that it is a return ticket that he bought. There are days, I think, when he regrets that. I actually know a lady who is part of the that project. And for her, it is about, you know, she's a scientist, and it's about the science aspect of it and what she can actually learn and what she can contribute to humanity as a result. I mean, it's not for me. I do want to come home, but I having spent some time with her and kind of hearing some more about her motivations with it. Yeah, it's a pretty hairy goal. Yeah.
So we're speaking to Kathy Reid. She's a Brisbane woman. She's going on the Virgin Galactic flight. The most important question for anyone who's considering purchasing one, baggage included, or is that an extra charge once you get to the gate?
Well, I think it's actually pretty restricted because one of the challenges in zero gravity is you don't want a whole lot of stuff flying around. Yeah. And, you know, I feel like being taken out by someone's handbag flying out in the middle of a flight would be a poor return on the investment. So I think they're going to police pretty carefully what you can and can't take on board.
We said laptops away. Yeah. This is the reason you put your laptop away.
Because how headless would you be if you passed out?
Yeah.
Where am I?
I'm back.
Well, they say, sorry, not as many on this flight. It's COVID safe, so every second seat, please.
You might get upgraded to business class, though, Kathy. So.
Hey, great to talk to you. Thank you so much for coming on this morning.
No, you're welcome. No problem at all.
Stav, Abby and Matt for breakfast. B105.
You always, well, you're supposed to go into a marriage thinking this is forever after. Yes. But if it doesn't work out, there's a lot of things that have to happen. It is sad going through the divorce because in Australia you still have to be married for a year. before you're allowed to even apply for a divorce. Mm-hmm. They hope that you might be able to work it out.
Is that what you think? There's that instead of a cooling off, they have a warming up period. They think, no. If you give it 12 months, you might.
You can't
might
get
sort
a null. You know how people go, oh, we annulled the marriage like over in America. It doesn't exist in Australia.
Can you, if you get married to someone, like on the wedding, you have the wedding day?
Yes.
And then before you as the celebrant gives the paperwork in, if you've changed your mind there, can we go, hey, don't put the paperwork in?
No, you can't, because you're still legally married and all the paperwork has been signed.
From that point.
Yeah, I've never been tackled to the ground and they've asked me to burn them, but I always take a photo straight after just in case anything like that happens. Right. But no. Yeah, once the ceremony's done, once there are witnesses and everything's signed, then you're legally married. Okay. Of course, it does need to be posted after that. But anyway, let's not go into the legalities. But there is an interesting story of Nadia Bartel. Now, you guys might not know her, but Jimmy Bartel, her ex-partner, a huge AFL player.
Right.
Played for Geelong. He's brilliant. But they're the people that became famous on socials. Mm-hmm. She's an influencer. She's a glamour model. And they became famous as kind of an it couple.
Yep.
So then when they break up, everyone's got an opinion on it. And he's met someone else since. And she was asked just yesterday, why do you still go by Nadia Bartel? Why haven't you changed your name if you've separated and he's got a new partner? And she's come out and said, but we've got kids and I want to have the same as the kids.
That makes sense.
It makes sense, but it's weird, isn't it? Because you're holding on to something that belonged to them.
Yeah.
And you can't really go, I want to keep my name in case we get divorced. A lot of people are these days, and I've still kept my maiden name for a lot of things, but it's nice to have it.
Yeah, choice.
But my friend has kept her married name, even though she's divorced. And her reason is because she didn't like her maiden name. So she married.
They don't have kids?
No, they didn't have kids. But she had. So her maiden name. So she's changed to Papazaharias.
Yes.
Which is a Greek name, and she's not Greek. So she often gets asked about it. But she likes it. And she goes, yeah, but you can nickname it because her maiden name was Boner.
Okay.
And she never liked that growing up.
Fair
so
enough.
So she goes, I don't want to go back to Boner.
Yes.
I want to.
Especially when it's not happening at the moment.
That's her reasoning.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'd bone her. Where's bone her?
Oh, okay, so high school's all coming back to her.
City.
I mean,
it sounded weird until you said bone her.
It's very funny, though, that it's in taking the surname, she's essentially Greek now.
Yeah, she gets asked about it all the time. Yeah. And people sometimes on the phone, she said people try to speak to her in Greek. And she's like, oh, I only did a couple of lessons.
Do you think anyone's actually, like, the dude has called his ex and gone, my new wife doesn't want me to.
But that's what I said. So he's got a new partner. I said, but you're going to have the same name as his new wife.
Mm.
And she said, yeah, I've never really thought about that. And I said, do you want that? She said, there'll come a stage where I probably change it, but she was expecting to get married and then change it again.
Yeah, well, you got to wait. Yeah, But do you reckon with the boner they ever would say on the phone?
I knew you'd be stuck on that. I shouldn't have said that, should I?
They would say, just how do you spell that?
No.
You know, how would you think you spell it?
B-O-N-E-H-E-R.
Bonheur.
No.
That's what I was thinking.
But I wonder on 13 10 60, did you keep the name? What's happened? Have you kept your married name even though you're not together? Maybe it is for the kids, but have you got another reason for it? Or were you very quick to change it back to your maiden name?
Or can you make up a whole new other one?
But you still got to go and get that change with births and marriages.
Right.
Yeah, like just start a whole new line of names.
You can change your name, but you just need to register for it.
Yeah, but you wouldn't have to register it if you were just changing back to your maiden name, would you?
No, because it's still on your birth certificate.
Yeah.
So you can't. That's why I'm saying a lot of people can just go back to their maiden name and say, well, that never existed.
Yeah.
But then you do have a different name than your kids.
Mm.
If you're picking a new name for your family, do it the old school way where it's always got to be associated with what your job was at the time.
Yeah.
You know, there's always like Smiths and blacksmiths. Like,
well, guess what mine used to do? Work in the coal. Coal man.
My last name's not my real last name because I took my mum's second husband's surname, which I wish I didn't now.
So you had to legally go and change
that? No, we didn't do it. But I was only young. So
but
I didn't
your name's
have...
not legally changed then?
No.
So at your wedding, you would have had your original name.
We had this conversation. I checked it, and I think I'm okay because you said that I wouldn't be married last time.
No, but at your wedding, you would have had to go by what's on your birth certificate.
Right, I didn't.
Hey, bro, you're free to go. You've got an illegal, like you've got a fake ID.
How did you get away with that? They would have had to look at your birth certificate.
Yeah.
And they would have said you need to go that unless you do a change of name certificate.
Yeah, it was a long time ago. I can't remember.
Yeah, it was back, you know, back then.
Was it 15 years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been doing weddings for 12 years.
Yeah.
13 years.
Well, maybe it would have been different then. Because yeah, yeah, on my birth certificate, it's Tannehill.
Well, then you're a Tannehill.
I know. Yeah, I can't change it now.
You can. You just got to go and get a name, change of name. It's not that hard.
No, but I have to change Rory. This is off topic anyway.
Nikki's on from Forest Lake. What's your story?
I've got two children. I was married for 17 years. And the kids were still in primary school when we divorced. And I just kept the name. I wanted to have the same name as my kids. Mm. But also, the majority of my adult life, I've had this name. So that's who I know myself as. And, yeah, I couldn't go back to my maiden name. You'd have to spell it for starters.
Yeah, right. I guess it's that.
Can I ask, did he ever remarry and then someone else has got that name?
He's on his third marriage now. Right. Number one.
There's a lot of you out there.
Yes. Spreading that name far and wide.
Cherie in Wavell Heights, did you change your name after the divorce?
No. So we were married for only 4 years. Separated for 15 and just got divorced last year because he wanted to remarry. But my original name was Richardson and his was Miller and it's spelled AR, so that becomes a pain. But my four children, one's named Richardson, one's Richardson Miller, and my younger two are Miller. And I didn't, it was just too long to sign Richardson all the time, so I just stayed Miller.
I love your reasoning for it. I mean, I couldn't really be bothered. So how long were you separated before you went through with the divorce?
About 15 years.
Oh, yeah. Imagine
I didn't really care.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. Take around. Yeah. It was one of those things you're like, I've got to get around to that.
If your nickname ends up being based off your last name, you know, like imagine if they started calling Cherie Millsy at work or something and then she went back to her maiden name, like, why do you call you Millsy?
I know you've been calling me Millsy for a while. It's Dicko now.
Yeah.
Shana in Wynnum. Name changing. What did you do?
Hi, guys. How are you going?
Good.
That's good. So when I met my mum met my stepdad when I was like 2.
Yeah.
So I ended up, when they got married when I was about 7 or 8, I just took on his last name and just kept it. So it was just by default though. So I'm actually not sure when I get married which one I have to use.
See, that's weird, isn't it, Shana? And I feel sorry for a lot of people that have gone by something that's not on their birth certificate. Mm. And they're like, I don't want to be known as that, you know, and even for first names as well. And it's quite easy. You just got to go and, I guess, legally get it done so you can have the name at your wedding of what you want rather than something that's so foreign.
Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah, I did have one bride that couldn't be bothered going around to it. She didn't like her name. So she said to him, can he just say it a little bit quieter?
What was the name?
She was bought on a birth certificate, no offence to your sister, was Sharon, and she never went by Sharon. She'd changed it to Amy, but it wasn't legal, and she couldn't really be bothered because she didn't care. So she said, just say Sharon.
Sharon. So is your mum and stepdad still together?
They sure are.
Okay. Yep. Yeah, right. And your dad didn't care that you changed your name or you didn't have a relationship with him?
Yeah, that's another story for another day, but not at all. No.
Another phone topic, hey?
Yeah, right.
In all your marriagings, have you had the one where the people either, like, take bits of their last names and combine them to make a brand new name?
Oh, but that happens after the wedding.
Right.
So I'm not sure, but I'm finding that more with same-sex couples because they would always go, you change by the male, but if there's two males and there's two females, that's when they start hyphening names or they're coming up with something that they like, which is just maybe choosing one of their family names. Yeah.
Well, you married Brad and Angelina, didn't you? You came up with Brangelina. That was done by you.
No, she's got 100% success rate.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, you don't want to be tarred with that.
Yeah. I don't want to check in with a couple of couples to find out how they're going, but I'm pretty sure.
Stav, Abby and Matt for breakfast. B105.
Let's do Alpha Bucks tomorrow, the 12th of November. It's a Friday. If you want to win some cash, we give you answers right now to make it even easier.
Wagon at 7 a.m. is an answer, and at 8 a.m. Instagram is one. Mm-hmm. Get practicing.
Stav, Abby and Matt for breakfast. B105.
Wow, what a second half from the Maroons.
Yeah, that's the one we'll remember. Game one.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. It wasn't a great night for Queensland. It wasn't a great night all around. There is a small silver lining in it, though, because yesterday on the show, we were talking about who would win, and Abby mentioned to you that you don't go through with bets, specifically a bet that was made about that game.
I said when we went number one, I'd backstroke naked through the Brisbane River.
And we did, but then you weren't allowed to do it.
No, because we had to get a shark cage.
You don't go through with bets, I don't think.
Right. If Queensland win tonight, backstroke naked Brisbane River. Get a shark cage now. I'll do it. Do you reckon they lost on purpose so that the city wouldn't have to?
You think they heard about it? We did speak to Kevy yesterday. You reckon he said, hey, boys, can we please throw this one? No one needs to see Maddie. Well, no one will see it, but no one needs to try.
If you want to have that on your reputation, sure.
Sure. But we thought that we were trying to prepare for it because we thought it was a definite win. So we decided to call our legal department. We called from a private number so she'd actually answer just to ask if you were legally able to do it.
I think she enjoyed this phone call.
Do you?
Hello, Sarah speaking.
Hi, Sarah. My name's Abby. I do the Brisbane Breakfast Show with Matt and Stav. They're here as well up at B105.
Hi, guys.
We know that you know who we are because you've legaled a lot of our stuff.
How nervous did I sound? I'm like, hi, my name's Abby.
Don't introduce yourself.
I know those names.
We want to ask you something because Maddie over there, you know he's got a big mouth and he says stuff. And he was making a sort of a bet. And I was saying that he never goes through with it. And one of the bets were that if we won, he would swim naked doing backstroke on the Brisbane River.
And
we just want to know what the legals are.
Oh, my God. I'm not a professional in naked swimming.
Right, okay.
But they would need to do a risk assessment.
Yeah, because there's bull sharks. That's what that comes up with. I'm just being honest with you here. There are sharks in the river.
Yeah, okay. So we'd need to run that past our insurers. We'd need to actually get that noted. We'd need to do a risk assessment about the safety of him doing that, which sounds like it's not ideal. And we'd also need to seek permission, like, you know, we'd need to reach out to local authorities to let them know that that's happening.
You're allowed to swim in the river, though, aren't you? You are allowed to. Frowned upon, but you are allowed to.
My main concern is the nudity part. I mean, I'm happy to do it. I'll do anything to celebrate the Queen.
From codes perspective, decency, all of that, that's what that will, you know, that's what we'll be thinking about. Yeah, something like that. Yep. We need to reach out to, like I said, local authority to let them know that that's what's occurring. And you need to get your GM to sign, a content director and GM to sign off on something like that.
Sarah, what about, because I'm pitching, like, it was supposed to be a reward for the Brisbane people and seeing him do backstroke, who knows if it's a reward. Would there be a possibility if he did breaststroke?
Yeah, let me see my bum.
Just ask. My bigger concern is the safety side of things.
Yeah.
If that's what you're saying about bull sharks and stuff like that. We absolutely need to get it noted on our insurance, and I'm not sure how they will respond to something like that.
Sarah, you might be like me, Sarah, and miss the heady days of the waiver. Whatever happened to the waiver? Can we get the waiver back?
No, we don't do waivers anymore. We've just got to make sure that what we're doing is safe and legal.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Well, I mean, no one gets too upset at a nudie run. A flashing is different to a bit of a nudie swim.
Okay, I've got a bit of an idea, Sarah. Okay, because Maddie does some crazy stuff on his own private time. We didn't ask him to do this. If he just wants to go down...
Oh, I think if we check the tape,
No one asked you to get your willy out, mate.
You brought it up. You want to see it.
Sorry,
So what about if he just did it in his own free time on a Sunday? I mean, we can't monitor that, can we? Look, I mean, if he's so desperate...
She's begging for it, Sarah. Listen to her.
It's still for content at the end of the day, and that's what it comes down to.
How much is this phone call costing us?
$600 a minute. I'm sorry. It is one of those things that we've got to go through the process. We've got to do a risk assessment. It's got to be signed off by the powers that be. And I'm sure it's all very fun and will make great content. There are a lot of things to work through and make sure it's proper sign off.
We get it. The sharks are doing the same thing at the moment too.
They're like, we weren't asked about this.
What I'm hearing is it's not a no.
Yeah.
So, I'm always open to it. I don't want to be told all the time that I don't follow through.
Oh, no, you're not doing bets anymore.
Bets and predictions
and everything, you're retired.
That's
in the past.
That's what you want, people. I'll do it. No one's calling. That's a shame.
No one's saying anything.
You brought it up. For the record,
that's not true. Play it again. I did not ask for it.
Yeah, he's cut that short. If we get the whole
No, did I ask for it, Steph?
I don't.
You
hearing
that
back?
You brought up.
I said you don't go through with bets. I didn't say please do it. How you interpret
get
that?
Get the full audio. We'll get the full audio.
Stav, Abby, and Matt for breakfast. B105.
You know, it's always nice to see a. Well, it's just funny when it's watching a mum try and drag their kid off a sporting ground for either having a tantrum or not doing it right, and they're like, get out! Get out! Back over here!
The gritted teeth.
Yes, the gritted teeth, and the kid's just not listening and shaking its head, and you're like, oh, it's funny. But it's not funny when it's you doing it.
Nah.
Because yesterday, during a tennis lesson, we realised we're trying to get our youngest, more middle one, into sports. We just haven't found what he's good at yet. And he just gave up. He's like, I just want to bash the tennis ball. We're like, it's not about that. So he's on the floor, and I'm like, get up, get up, trying to drag him off. That was me. You need to see the other parents just smiling with joy. Thanks. But no thanks.
Mine too is parenting related. When you're leaving a park later than you expected to, so, you know, the sun's almost set, it's a bit darker. There's a group of children sort of with their families all walking out together. And you are keeping an eye on your kid all the way to the car, but then your kid continues to walk further and further away. And you're like, why is my kid walking to that person's car? And you realise that's because the kid you were looking at thinking it's your kid is not in fact your kid.
Oh.
So then you've got to turn around and go, where did I leave my kid? Doesn't look good.
No.
Thanks. But no thanks.
Every time I do this, I say to myself, I won't do it again. And then I do it again. Woke up, put on my pants, one leg at a time. Couldn't find my belt. I thought, you know what? It'll be fine. They're not that big. It'll be fine. Spend the rest of the day constantly pulling your pants back up.
Isn't that exciting for you, though?
Or the other half of the day looking like you want to be some sort of gangster in your bag of pants.
Lucky you didn't wear your wallet chain today. With your billabong zip velcro.
It was pretty big on the. But I couldn't afford the wallet chain, so I just used a dog lock.
Did you have etnies? You didn't put your etnies on today?
Yeah, you swear you're never going to do it again. And then here I am, pulling my pants up like some kid outside Hungry Jack's waiting for his friends to get here.
Ride your bike today.
Packed a mean lunch. Thanks, but no thanks.
Stav, Abby and Matt for breakfast. B105.
That's the podcast, guys. Have a good one. See you tomorrow.
Bye-bye.
Stav, Abby and Matt. B105.